Now, more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
It is Monday. This is 1320 WILS. Great to have you here. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Johnny Buck. Today, why is tobacco pushing for the legalization of marijuana here in Michigan? We will find out. Also, it was an absolutely brutal murder of a couple in Stockbridge decades ago. A new book outlining what occurred and why this couple was targeted. Really frightening situation occurred there. But right now in D.C., we're waiting. We're waiting to see if Republicans in the Senate will be able to vote on the new health care bill. At this point, the answer is no. But even if they do, are they going to improve things? Let's talk to Sherry McCartney. She's a director at the law firm Tripp Scott. She focuses her practice on business and regulatory issues and represents clients in regulated industries such as healthcare. Sherry, great to have you on 1320 WILS.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me.
Yeah, what's that like when you're trying to deal with government regulations?
It's a nightmare. It is a nightmare for my clients, but it keeps me busy, especially lately.
Do they usually make any sense, the regulations?
Oh, it doesn't. You know, this is the eternal problem with massive government and bureaucracy, that it never gets any smaller, and it only grows and only gets more complex.
Yeah. And why do you think when we see more and more regulations, what's driving that?
Well, it's the expansion of government. And, you know, the bottom line is we keep electing people who are willing to grow government and regulate more and seek control over our lives because they think they know better. And as long as we do that, we're going to continue to have growth in the regulatory world.
Okay. So when you look at health care, what's the effect of the regulations we have in place now, would you say?
Well, generally, the regulations that are most onerous and cumbersome to doctors anyway deal with their day-to-day operations, how they bill things, how they can own things, if they can own the X-ray machine down the street, and can they send a patient to it? Well, in most instances, they can't. So I have to structure a basic deal in such a way that it has to comply with these very onerous regulations. It is cumbersome. It is expensive. It is prohibitive. It's not free market.
Okay. Now, their goal is what, to protect patients somehow? Is that it?
Yeah, ostensibly that's the goal, that, you know, the doctors are otherwise colluding to drive up costs and earn money. It starts with the premise that apparently the government bureaucrats have, that physicians are practicing medicine for the sole purpose of making money, and they'll do anything to get it. It's a horrible perception, but I think that's what's there.
Okay. Oh, so really they view doctors as villains somehow? Is that it?
Absolutely, they look at doctors as villains because they look at them as those who are driving up the cost of health care, that a physician would order a test that isn't needed or perform a surgery that isn't warranted. Now, look, this happens on occasion. We've seen many instances of, you know, people going to jail, and well, they should, but it is certainly not the mindset of the average physician. You know what? I've got to tell you, Michael, doctors just want to practice medicine. They don't want to fill out paperwork. They don't want to worry about the Affordable Care Act. They just want to practice medicine.
Okay. And what about the insurance companies? Do they somehow get off easy with the regulations?
It's a very cumbersome world for them, too. But, you know, they wield a lot of power, and in many instances, you know, they help draft them. The ACA is a perfect example of that.
The Affordable Care Act, I just saw a poll that a lot of Americans don't know that the ACA and Obamacare are the same thing. What do you think of that?
Probably not. But, you know, I found out just recently, I didn't realize this, Mike, I don't know if you did, that the wonderful new bill that Congress is proposing now is called the Better Care Reconciliation Act.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to ask you, what kind of conservative proposes or signs on to something called the Better Care Reconciliation Act without realizing that it's going to institutionalize a federal health care system?
So you're opposed to what's being proposed? I mean, I'm not even sure if I know what they're proposing at this point, but what do you think they're actually the changes that they're considering?
It's part of the problem. You know, it's a tweak here and a tweak there. Yes, it gets rid of the employer mandate. You know, move some credits around for Medicaid. It slows the expansion. But, you know, in a nutshell, it's just the same thing, only with slightly different terms. It is absolutely not a repeal and replace.
Okay, but the votes just aren't there. So what's the other option?
Well, you know, some say that it'll implode on its own. I guess that's possible. That might be the only way to get something close to a repeal. You know, when these things are done and they're actually, you know, a Trojan horse, which is how I looked at Obamacare to begin with, you know, it was intended to create a single-payer system. And now that it seems that our Congress is willing to keep the idea that the federal government should be a major player in healthcare, then all you're doing is, as they say, rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. Hmm. And that's why I see that this isn't, if it passes at all, it's doomsday for any hope that we have a more of a free market system in our healthcare.
Hmm. Why did the insurance companies agree to this if the goal of Obamacare was to have a single payer?
Well, it doesn't mean that they won't get paid. I mean, a single payer system, ultimately you take the low end of the Medicaid folks and then you take the retired folks from Medicare and roll it all into one. Still, the insurance companies get paid in providing the policies. Uh-huh. They would get fit into it, to be sure. And we know this because even in this current plan, they've got state stabilization funds, uh-huh. which is really just a subsidy for the insurance company. It isn't even a subsidy for the citizen to buy the plan. It's a subsidy for the insurance company to make the plan affordable. In all of this conversation, Michael, what we've never done, ever done, is talk about the cost of health care, what's driving the cost of health care, and to do anything about it.
Yeah, in your view, is what is that? What's driving the cost up?
I think it is that if there is a government to pay for it, it will be billed and it will be charged. Mm-hmm. Right? You get more of what you pay for. And the more we create government systems of payment, the more the costs are going to go up. There's nothing that stops it. Medicaid, for example, is not capped. It is paid as needed.
Yeah.
And then just raise taxes to pay for more of it. We do nothing about capping it.
Yeah, but the argument on the other side is it's heartless to cut, you know, Medicaid and they say that we're going to see tens of millions of people without insurance, period, if we really aggressively go after this.
I find that argument so frustrating, and, you know, it's another example of how I think Republican leadership has failed us. Of course, when we say that we're changing Medicaid in the Obamacare, what that doesn't mean is that these people are out of luck in terms of insurance. What it means is we're changing it so maybe it now becomes a stronger state program, not the federal program.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Medicaid is a state-run program funded by the federal government, but because you make changes to how it is paid, doesn't mean people are going to be left out in the cold. But we've not done a good job at all in our country of explaining things.
Hmm.
We throw everything up in a soundbite, hope everybody gets it, and then just, you know, hope for the best.
Yeah, but if we reverse the Medicaid expansion, do you think some people will, in fact, end up losing insurance?
Well, I think that, yeah, some people lose insurance because we created a situation where the insurance was basically funded by Medicaid. And we expanded Medicaid, meaning that it wasn't simply just those among us who are the neediest, which, of course, we should help and pay for. But it expanded to a much greater group of people for the sole purpose of expanding the system and creating a single source. Mm-hmm. That was ultimately the goal. So what would happen? So if this plan is passed and it reduces Medicaid,
mm-hmm.
what that could mean is that as it is held now, people may not have Medicaid insurance plans. It doesn't mean the care won't be provided.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that the states can't create their own systems and provide Medicaid as they see fit in their own states.
Yeah. Would you rather see an implosion then right now or this passed?
You know, I was so hopeful that that we could pass something that would make a difference, and now I've lost all hope, and so I think the implosion is probably a better idea, but I don't even know that that would happen.
Yeah, because McConnell said if they can't get this through, they're going to have to get something through to make sure the exchanges can continue operating. Do you understand why he's concerned about that?
Well, because it all grinds to a halt, and you know, that can't happen. Imploding, meaning that it can't be funded and needs to be fixed and created in a new way,
mm-hmm.
is different than everything just grinding to a halt and not having funding for the existing insurance plans. Everybody out there has run around and got themselves a plan. and they have some form of subsidy or another. And the, you know, what they're trying to ensure is that there is some stability and maintenance of the status quo, at least for those who have insurance now through Obamacare.
Okay. Do you think we were better off before Obamacare was instituted? Was that a better time?
You know, what I think needed to happen were a couple of things. On one end, I think we needed to have a long discussion about expectations in insurance. And maybe families should be paying for the doctor's visit for sniffles, but not for the broken arm. We have an insurance system now where people have an expectation that from dollar one, from cut finger to heart surgery, it's going to be paid for. I think that's unrealistic.
Sherry McCartney, she's a director at the law firm Tripp Scott, where she focuses her practice on business and regulatory issues. So Sherry McCartney right here on 1320 WILS. Thank you, Sherry.
Good talking to you. Yep.